GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Hey, Jim LeBrecq, CMS, our tech advisor on energy. We got a text message into us in the MTG text line just a couple of minutes ago. As we were talking ahead of what is the governor's announcement coming at Searsport's Mac Point at 10 o'clock this morning. Okay.
Yep.
And even the news release, even the media advisory talks about the governor's state of the state, in which she talked about wanting to see more wind power in Maine and her visit to Scotland as a member of a U.S. state and federal delegation organized by the U.K. government to learn more about offshore wind. This listener sends us a note. A little on-the-scene information for you. Last week, Monday and Tuesday, I was working in the Searsport area. They were moving heavy equipment, and it looked like they could have been components for windmills, maybe. I don't know. But that listener thought enough of it to send it to us. So we thought enough to send it and read it along to you, Jim, as we anticipate what the governor's announcement might be at Mac Point Terminal in Searsport this morning at 10 a.m.
Pretty much what I said, you know, just use it to haul in things from, I said China, but could come from other countries as well. So our money gets exported and their parts come in. You know, I think what's going on here in this new administration is that we're in a situation where we have way too many energy policies, too many committees, too many promises, too much money, and too many forgotten failures. You know, that's not a good recipe for our future. Let's remember.
I love the forgotten failures part of that. Go on. I like this.
Yeah. And then here's a forgotten failure. Remember we talked about the Efficiency Maine Trust. By 2020, they were supposed to have reduced all of Maine's electricity by 30% and gas by 30%, the gas and oil by 30%, I think it was, and reduce CO2 by something below 1990 standards. I don't have the exact quote in front of me or the exact document in front of me, but it was something in that magnitude. You know, how well did that work out? Why isn't anybody looking at why did we fail on these things? And I think the main reason why it failed is because the expectations were completely out of line, just like they are today. I was at this meeting last night in Brunswick on a speaker from Washington, D.C., talking on the LEED building program. LEED stands for Leader in Energy and Environmental Design. And I brought up the fact that the biggest part of these buildings has to do not so much with the insulation or, they try and save some bricks from an old building to use in a new building, and that gives them points and everything. It's the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration systems for these buildings. Big, big energy. And they don't have anybody that addresses those things. And the amount of energy they're laying on the table with that kind of stuff is enormous. And the reason is because we don't have the knowledge and skill sets and experience within our engineers and architectural firms and mechanical contracting firms to do any better than what we're doing here today. As a matter of fact, the firms that have to, install and maintain these kinds of systems are firms that have all they can do to find somebody to go send to your house to fix your toilet. It's tough to find people that know much about the stuff whatsoever. So how do they expect to meet all of these big programs where they're going to change industries as big as this is within 10 years when you don't have any human resources to do it?
Do we need all of those people?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I wondered, aren't they working? So isn't that institutional knowledge available somewhere electronically online?
No. No. You're talking a whole art of business. Look, just North America, the refrigeration air conditioning business is a $257 billion annual business with 1.3 million employees. Okay? And globally, it's over $1 trillion. Now, what do we have in Augusta? Right now, here's another thing where I say they extend themselves way beyond their capacity. This is a very complex industry. Now, what are they trying to do with all this stuff that you know nothing about? Mm-hmm. They're trying to fix their refrigerant problems with this industry. And they have this bill in LD 2112, where it's a very long, complex bill. And I talked to people on the committee, and I talked to other legislators, and they don't even have enough knowledge to even discuss the thing, let alone make decisions. So here it is, $1 trillion annual business globally that we buy and export equipment from all over the world, you know, from refrigerators to large pieces of HVAC equipment for big buildings and stuff. And we have these people that think they're in Augusta, and they think they're going to make some change in policy that's going to change the direction of millions of people in a $1 trillion annual business. You know, that's the gnat on the flea, on the fly, on the hair, on the tail, trying to wag the dog, right? So I just recommended to some people on the committee what they should be doing is just looking at the U.S. policy and looking at codifying what the U.S. has, because Maine is not going to change GE or Hot Point or any of these manufacturers, Whirlpool or whatever, on what kind of refrigerator they're going to make for Maine. We're going to have this is going to impact every aspect of our lives. Refrigeration that they're going to be trying to change the course of everything from water fountains to ice machines to beer coolers and bars, supermarkets, you know, milk, bulk milk tank coolers and dairy farms and all the transportation trucks, you know, that have refrigeration on transport units and trains and so forth. Every air conditioner. Oh, by the way, heat pumps were excluded from this CFC thing, which was correctly done, and that was, they said, with all the oil we save, that's more than an offset for the refrigerant, the damaging refrigerants that we have to use to do that. And I do those calculations all the time. And I use, for instance, refrigerants that are a little bit higher, what we call global warming potential, but they save a lot more energy. And so that's my best choice. Use something that's a little higher in potency, but it saves the power company from putting out a lot more CO2. And at the end of 3 years, you're ahead of the game. But they have no way of calculating those kinds of things.
Let's try one more time to take a phone call on the PDQ or telephone line for Jim Labreck, CMS or Tech Advisor on Energy. Caller, hi, GHRT, what are you thinking?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to ask Jim his thoughts on going back to the LEED certification you touched upon a couple of minutes ago. We've got a new evidently that's bought the Madison Paper Mill to make green building materials. Any thoughts there?
Yep. Green building materials. Go ahead.
Oh.
He's wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I don't know much about it, but that's one area that LEED is doing a good on. And even these committees that Mills, it's disrespectful. Governor Mills has put together. And they can deal with a lot of these, you know, materials and insulation and there's hundreds of little details that they can actually improve on, but when it comes to the heart of the big energy using devices in these buildings, that's where the rubber really meets the road. That's where we have a major failure.
Caller, hi, GHRT, what's your question, what's your comment for Jim Labreck, CMS or Tech Advisor on Energy?
Oh, I think the comments Janet Mills might bring up or the things for the news release might be, I think that's where they bring in the wind towers from and offload them to get them on trucks to send the 22, I think, that are going to Du Bois and Aurora.
Yeah. Possibly.
That's what I'm figuring. And again, what are those wind turbines cost and what are we doing?
Well, why do we have to have a news conference at Mack Point for that if that's it? If the only thing they're announcing is, yeah, we're bringing in some wind turbines and we're trucking them up to Du Bois.
I think
there's more than that.
I think we ought to have a separate news conference showing the bank that has to export all the money from Maine ratepayers to send overseas to pay for those big blades.
Here's an email into the McLaughlin Seafood inbox.
You've got mail.
At WVOM at blueberrybroadcasting.com. The only questions I have are who's paying and what's the ROI if truly Maine is looking at offshore wind power generation?
You know, ROI, they don't believe in ROI down there in Augusta. You know, when I was talking about the governor's solar panels down there at the Blaine House, 29-year payback, no interest. You know, you give me $63,000 today, and in 29 years from now, you'll get your $63,000 back. It's not a good investment.
Where do I sign?
Right. And then later that day, the Mills administration put out a note, put out a press release saying it's about more than just payback.
Let's grab one more phone call on the PDQ Door telephone line. Caller, hi, you're on with Jim Labreck, CMS. What's your question? What's your comment, caller?
Thank you, Rick. Jim, I hear this commercial on the radio, and it says that Quebec hydropower. Why does Quebec still use hydropower and we don't? When we have so many lakes and streams, when gravity is just coming from up north and it just keeps flowing right down to the ocean, from every lake and stream that Maine has, why have we just run from hydropower, Jim?
Well, let's look at the Big A Dam or the Basin Mills Dam right here in Orono. The same people that are pushing for wind and solar are the groups that push hard against those things because wind and solar can't compete with hydro in capacity or cost.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.